Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
It is Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont, along with my lovely wife, Audrey Newmont.
Hello.
And it is New Year's Eve. Oh, my God.
Woohoo!
Well, I couldn't think of anyone I'd rather spend it with than Audrey, of course. This is like 20 New Year's that we're going upon, right?
Yes, we are.
Oh, my God. So it is the end. There's less than 4 hours left in 2019. And we're moving into 2020, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to a new year, right?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are ready for 19 to be done.
I think it's funny that I was looking at Bitmojis today on my phone, and there's a couple Bitmojis of one is 2019 in a trash bag, and it's like stinky trash, and the person is taking it out, then it has just 2019 in block form, and shattering it with a mallet. So, I think people are ready for a new year, a new start. And on tonight's show, we will talk about some numerology of the new year, astrology. And also, Audrey is going to talk a lot about intentions in the new year and a very fascinating look at how she does that. And for all these years, when comes to New Year's resolutions, what we've been doing wrong. You were going to say something.
Well, yeah, creating the new year 2020 with, let's make this happen kind of feel.
Well, and the people have caught up with the fact that 2020 is clear vision that's been getting out there for a while. And what is our 2020 vision in the year ahead? There's a lot to look at. As we move from 2019 into 2020, Audrey, what do you think? You can speak for yourself, or clients that you work with. And Audrey was on the show with me a couple weeks ago. If you don't know who Audrey is yet, she is a clinical hypnotherapist. She is a licensed spiritual practitioner, and she's very tuned in herself. And she has a process called Tools for Transformation that are part of her book that is coming out. Anyway, what do people want to get rid of in 2019?
Anxiety.
Okay.
Stress, worry. They want to get rid of the uncertainty of what's going on in their lives at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of divisiveness that's going on in the country that people want to literally be able to find a way to come together for a common purpose. Mm-hmm. I think that those are some of the main things. Owning a good amount of abundance.
Well, Audrey, do you find that your clients are more affected by what's going on a personal level, or is there more coming from the environment, on a more global level? By environment, I don't mean the climate. I mean what's going on globally, economically, politically,
honestly, I think it's both. I think that the uncertainty of what's going on in the country and all of this, the dynamics that are at play with politics and all of that, I think that weighs on people. And I also think that there are a lot of people in their home lives where there is a struggle with communication. There's a struggle mm-hmm. with making ends meet. There's a struggle with managing kids with addictions. And I don't mean like drug and alcohol addictions. I mean addiction to screens. And, there's this moment of transition right now where people are experiencing a whole new way of having to go about doing things. And it's kind of like we're all having to learn a new way to be.
So when you say the screen addiction, and I've never asked it like this before. So when people, get into drugs or alcohol or smoke, or whatever, that is a bit of an outlet. But how much of kids on screens, is that an outlet versus that's their whole social life.
It is their social life. You know, they don't call like we used to call. You know, there's these different generations, and their generation that's growing up, the kids that are teens, the tweens and below, and even young adults all the way up to, I would say, even like 30s. You know, their social world revolves around the phone. And if they don't have a phone, it is a real struggle. A lot of them can't go for a day without having a phone mm-hmm. in their hands. So as we're moving into a new year and having a new intention in the year, there's this balance of using the phone in a way that it is kind of intended and not using it as an escape or becoming addicted to all the various things that we can be doing in it and being more present in where we are in the world and in the human experience.
Well, the funny thing is, numerologically, 2019 adds up to 12 over 3, which has to do a 3-year universally, does have to do with people and communication. So it means that good, bad, or indifferent, there's an emphasis on dealing with people and communication. And a 3-year is also a lot of drama. All right.
Oh, yay. Because yeah. We need more drama.
Well, that's what we're finishing now.
We're finishing, though, yes.
But it's funny when it comes to what we know at our age, communication was interacting one-on-one. And now even when kids get together, teenagers, they're on their phone, like at a party or something, they're all looking at their phones as opposed to so much, you know, communication eye to eye and verbally.
I think there's a lot of kids that are starting to realize that that's just not any fun. You know, so I think that there is already a shift that's taking place where they want to be enjoying themselves more. And you and I have talked about it. I mean, when we were kids, when we were teenagers and young adults, I mean, we'd go out clubbing and we would just have fun with it.
That's right.
And yeah. They go out and it's not that same kind of element of just a lot of fun. There is, it's a whole different kind of vibe.
Yeah, definitely. And there aren't the facilities available for kids can go to, and I'm talking about under 21, where they could go to a big arcade or someplace that's like under 21 dancing. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of that where kids can go to some kind of center or an under 21 club and go and have fun.
It depends on where you live. Kind of in our area, that's not right. happening.
We're talking about the Conejo Valley. I grew up, as you know, in Western Pennsylvania, and there were incredible, and I'm talking about the 70s, but in the height of the disco era, I remember going to clubs on New Year's Eve. Oh, my God. And here we are doing this. But I remember very sophisticated under 21 clubs.
Uh-huh.
There was no booze.
But you know, it was fun.
Oh, my God. It was incredible clubs, that East Coast style with the lit-up dance floor and those great big high ceilings and all that. Oh, my God, was that fun.
So when we're talking about intention, I got to tell you, all you investors out there, start creating atmospheres for people to go mm-hmm. out and have a little bit more fun. I think that there is this movement where people are realizing that that's something that's been kind of missing, and I think that mm-hmm. there is a good opportunity there.
Exactly.
I remember going on Saturday nights. Every Saturday night, I'd go roller skating, and we'd be dancing around the roller skating mm-hmm. floor. It was fun.
Yep.
Yeah. So for 2020, I think for all of us, what's your intention for having more fun? Think about those things that you can do. I've been working with my clients lately, and every one of them, it's like, you know, what are you doing for having fun, and what is the thing that in the new year equals fun for you? What you can do to make a list of these new experiences that will bring you a lot more laughter and joy.
And we need that. I want to take a step back for a moment. When we were talking about kids on their phones and we were talking about anxiety, how much do you think that when people are on devices, does that contribute to anxiety?
Oh, it's huge.
Explain that.
Well, there's the FOMO. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. So there's a part of it where kids look and they see these other kids that are appearing to have more fun than they are, or they're appearing to all get together, and some of them they kind of gang up on others. And there's this whole dynamic that goes into the phones, and it's really kind of an interesting time for them, you know, and the bullying thing. You know, there's a lot of bullying online on the phones.
Absolutely.
And in the social world. So, you know, our kids are really experiencing a whole nother thing that we always were bullied in person.
Right.
You know, and now it's like you can be at home and in the safety of your room, and there you are being bullied. And it is a big problem. So that contributes to the anxiety and just all the other elements as well. It's an interesting dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
again,
is.
It's a new, pretty new thing. You know, many generations haven't had to deal with that. So now they're figuring out what are the solutions for that.
Well, I think it's, and as we move generationally, you know, you and I are the age that we are, and we didn't grow up with this. But what we have to be careful of is that parents who are, say, 15, 20 years younger than you and I, where those devices have been an integral part of their life for some time, that's a new homeostasis of acceptedness.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody does that. And, you know, at some point we get to a point where people just don't know what not having those things is like. Well,
Nick is
64
and I'm 57. And to be clear, it's like we definitely grew up with a phone attached to the wall.
Yes, a cord.
And I remember when cell phones came out, and now it's like the kids are experiencing a whole new world. So, you know, again, bringing it back to it's a new year, it's a new experience of life. How much time are you spending on the phone, and how much time are you spending being present in the world and nature and, you know, being a part of another human being's experience and experiencing their energy and not just this whole thing online?
Well, here's something else to look at. Nowadays, when you have your cell phone, everybody's competing with unlimited use.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the early 90s that one of my work associates had one of those big mobile phones that was like a walkie-talkie. Now, here's the difference. You use that very judiciously because depending on where you called, you were paying 50 cents to a dollar a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So if you used your phone a lot, and unless you were some kind of business where you're making a ton of money, your phone bill was huge.
Right, right.
To have a mobile phone. So nowadays, it's just, you know, use it as much as you want. And it's,
and you live at it.
Right, exactly, exactly. It is convenient. I mean, one of the things that we recognize now that we are able to, I'm not talking about kids doing Snapchat and all that. As an adult, there are times where getting an email on your phone or something that is work-related is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that we don't have to be in front of a big computer at the desk to do work. I mean, you and I both have gotten work done.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of work done on that phone.
But again,
then I take my time and I go out in nature and I keep a balance in the life.
And
that's the whole point I'm making.
And in the business that you and I are in, which is a people business, we're not going to have an Android replace us. And people really do appreciate being able to talk to people in, mm-hmm. in the therapy world or in the psychic world or whatever, the healing world. People want to interact with people. So, all right, so we're leaving 2019 behind. One thing I'd like to throw in there is political rhetoric. I want to put that in the trash bag.
Right.
Okay? And what I mean by political rhetoric is just getting flooded with all kinds of opinions and this is that. And I'm talking about the politicians. I'm not talking about people debating, you know, with their party and stuff like that. I'm talking about the stuff just piles up and piles up, and it just got to, like leaves, got to rake that into a big trash bag and throw that away so that hopefully as we get into the new year, we'll have more truth and fact as opposed to, you know, leaves blowing all. I like that visual political rhetoric. Those leaves blowing everywhere. We got to rake them in and get them in the big hefty bag.
It's going to be an interesting year for that, all that.
Well, let's.
Well, you had something about that. Why don't you talk about that?
Thank you. I will. Well, so for you numerological files out there, as we go from 2019, that adds up to 12, and 12 is a 3. And so we have a compound number on the top where 1 and 2 means, you know, how the male and female energy comes together. Now, 2020 is 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 0, which adds up to 4. So we have no ruling number. There's no compound number on the top. So what this means is we go into simplification, all right? Because the compound number on the top, and if it's your birthday, you know, I can do the numerology. The compound number creates complexities. This is simplistic, and when you're in a 4 year, the number 4 is illustrated as the box, the 4-sided figure, and I always draw a stick person inside that box. So we're into a little bit more of being conservative, traditional. And when you're in a 4 year, there is a tendency to tear down a bit, down to the foundation and rebuild. And so what I'm seeing in 2020 as we move forward is things becoming more stable, more solid, something that we can rest upon. In a universal 4 year, it also means that's work. You know, roll up your sleeves and go to work. Do things in an ethical, moral way. And of course, you know, it's 2020, having the 2020 vision and clarity on things. So we are going to tear down a little bit and rebuild in 2020. And I think that's good. In a 3 year, you know, when it's so much about people and communication, there's a certain amount of theatrics, a certain amount of drama. And the idea, and here's the irony, Audrey, in a 3 year, it is supposed to be about having fun. Huh. And I'm not so sure that it kind of ended up like that for a lot of people. You know, hopefully as we go into the 4 year, that if there's any unfinished business that has to do with communication, it's carried forward so that things become more precise. See, when you're in a 3 year also, there's so much energy around people that it's kind of hard to figure out exactly who your best friends are. This is 3 is a plethora of people. You know, it's social interaction, and it's hard to be a good judge of character. When you go into a 4 year, things are easier to identify. And in a 4 year, we also want to be more detail-oriented. Things make more sense in a 4 year. There's more logic that's applied. You know?
Is that going to be logic on a lot of levels? Like, are we going to see more logic when it comes to the political situations that are going on?
That's yes, because
a lot of people are very curious about all that.
Well, because when a 4 year, you know, you don't color outside the lines, you stay inside the box. And a lot of the fluff that's been there is going to go away. In other words, we're going to see exactly what's going on all sides. Now, I've referenced this a little bit, but as on a New Year's show, and we're looking at what's coming in the new year, we are moving ever so closely to the planet Saturn creeping up on the planet Pluto. And as we get into the mid-January, these two planets are going to overlap each other, conjunct each other. And when a planet is on top of another one in astrology, a conjunction means there's an intense energy between those two planets. And this is occurring in the sign of Capricorn. And Capricorn rules big business and government. And where Saturn is karma, fate, destiny, lessons learned, disappointments. It rules our careers and public life. Pluto is all about transformation. So this is a karmic transformation. And I've been saying for months, as we go into the new year, that I think we're going to get the kind of truth that tells us where the bodies are buried, figuratively.
That'll be interesting.
So in your personal life, however, with this configuration, once it gets going and passes, I would say over the first couple months of the year, be a bit conservative. Let things identify themselves so we see exactly what's happening. And I realize that when it comes to there's political primaries that come up, you know, in the earlier part of the year with a presidential election, many different levels of office have elections as we get into November. But I think we're going to get to the point where people have clarity on what the circumstances are, who's on the up and up, and so they can vote accordingly based on truth, not political rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say when you say you find out where the bodies are buried, this means a lot of stuff that's been undercurrent, subterfuge, is brought to the surface so it can be seen as reality.
That'll be interesting.
It's always like that, you know, the end of the movie Poltergeist, where all the dead bodies are coming up out of the ground, out of the swimming pool, because they built a housing development over a cemetery and didn't exhume the bodies. You know, that's what this is. This is whatever was built over top of whatever is hidden is going to surge up through.
So we're talking January, February?
It starts, the alignment is already forming, all right? So let me talk about that. I've noticed since Saturn has been moving toward Pluto, and this is over the last few weeks, as we had gotten into the early part of December, that these two planets together really squeeze. And if you've noticed that there's more tension in people, people feel more tension, people are tense with each other, that's part of this Saturn-Pluto alignment.
Mm-hmm.
It puts a squeeze on. And Pluto rules the deepest parts of who we are. It's beyond our psyche and our subconscious. Pluto rules the depths of the essences of what makes up who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto, of course, is the planet of transformation and transition, death and rebirth. It rules mysticism and all the metaphysical sciences. It rules the eighth house, which is the Scorpio house. Go ahead.
Didn't you tell me years ago, it's like there's generations that are born with Jupiter in a certain space that makes those generations kind of more unique or interesting or whatever that was?
Well, Uranus does that, definitely.
All right. Is it not Pluto?
Well, Pluto moves so slowly. For instance, Pluto is in Capricorn now. When I was born, Pluto was in Leo, which is in the mid-50s. So it takes Pluto a long time to change signs.
Okay.
Neptune
then?
Well, Neptune has to do with your spiritual belief system. Like, for instance, your oldest daughter, my stepdaughter, was born in the early 90s with Neptune in Capricorn, and she's sort of has spirituality and metaphysics sort of at arm's length, where our younger two daughters were born with Neptune in Aquarius, which means they're way more open-minded about things like that. So, there are generational things that take place along the way. Like, for instance, the planet Uranus, which is sudden change. Uranus, in May of 2018, first ventured into Taurus, and Uranus stays in signs for about 8 years. And so over the next 6.5, 7 years, as Uranus is in Taurus, it has a lot to do with the feminist movement. So you definitely see a lot more women as heads of big business. You'll see a lot more women get elected in 2020 because Uranus is firmly entrenched in the sign of Taurus. So yeah, they are generational things, and they are, as they move, you know, through the sky, you know, they are constellation shifts at the same time. And we're also very fortunate, and it's unique that in the last 10, 15 years, we've witnessed the move from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, which happens only every 2,000 years. So we're alive right now witnessing a constellation shift and an age shift. And it is interesting times, fascinating times to be on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And as Uranus moves into Taurus, Taurus rules how you make your money, your possessions, material things. You'll see way more unique businesses being started over the next 6-7 years. Probably things that we haven't even thought of yet that could become a business for you and me, because what we do as non-traditional entrepreneurs in our business and alternative healing methods, that's perfect for folks like us. If you're listening in and you are a healer, a psychic, you know, whatever, that's non-traditional.
Holistic
practitioner. Yes, Uranus and Taurus is great for you because these are shifts upward and onward into Taurian things. And Taurus is very traditional. So you're putting something that's non-traditional and creates sudden change into something that is, Taurus moves very slow in how it accomplishes things. And so this is great. You'll see a lot of new businesses come up. And the other thing you'll see is a lot more entrepreneurs over the next 6-7 years because of Uranus and Taurus. So there's a lot to look forward to. Now, in the chart, it's sitting here, I have the chart of the United States in front of me. The Saturn-Pluto conjunction alignment is going to take place in the second house, which is the house of where the country earns its money. So what does this mean in everyday English? Big changes regarding our financial system in this country. We may see changes in our currency. We may see big shifts in terms of how our currency is affected by foreign currencies and vice versa with this. There's stuff that's going to go down that I would say is overdue.
Wow. Are they going to get rid of the penny, though? That's what I want to know. It's time.
I don't think they'll actually... They may stop minting the penny, okay? But I don't think they'll take it out of circulation yet. Because what they'll have to do is change prices of things so that a penny, you know, it would have to be ended a zero or a nickel
mm-hmm.
to do that.
It kind of frustrates me. Those pennies are not even worth that.
I know. But, you know, they're still in circulation. And when you're paying in the grocery store and it comes to $24.37, you have to account for that. Now, what we get to next is how far away are we from we don't carry money anymore?
That's what I was wondering.
I mean, I've been in parking lots. I was in one last night. And when you pay... you have to use your credit card or a debit card because mm-hmm. it doesn't take cash.
So when you're talking about currencies getting changed, is it looking like, what's that guy, who is it that's wanting to create his own currency? Who is that recently? So is it going to be where there is just everything is like about the Bitcoin kind of thing?
Somewhat.
That would be interesting.
Well, there's an Apple card that's
yes,
come out.
I love that. I use it actually.
See, we are changing. And in a while back when I was channeling Merlin said that, you know, the financial system that we have is basically, he said the machine is broken and mm-hmm. that things we have to change because with Uranus and Taurus, it means things are moving a lot faster. And if you have an old piece of machinery, an old car, an old truck, and you try to make it go faster, it breaks. It's not built to go that fast. So, yeah, there's a lot of change. And I think that when I talk about the Pluto-Saturn alignment, am I saying that we're in for a rough time in 2020? No, I don't see it like that. I think we just need to take a wait-and-see approach and see what falls out from all of this. And then...
And I think there's a part of it, just being very aware, you know, just being observant and noticing what's going on around you and making conscious and responsible choices.
Well, when you make your choices, and this is really where you're so good at this, you know, We have been hearing for how many years that people would set New Year's resolutions. And, well, how many of those did you accomplish? Well, maybe one. And my viewpoint on the word New Year's resolution, which is optimistic and well-meaning and usually done when people have had a few cocktails on New Year's Eve and feeling good and meaning well and have the lampshade on their head. For me, a New Year's resolution is a mental treadmill, and it's a lot of I'm gonna's. And then once people get into the reality of what that resolution is, they haven't really looked at the reality of how to create that. And Audrey and I like the idea of setting New Year's intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So your words, Audrey, put your focus and attention on the intention. Why don't you elaborate on that? And what's a better way to set New Year's intentions that are doable? And so when you get to the end of 2020, you look back, go, I did that, I did that, I did that, and I did that.
Well, it's interesting because in the book that I give to my clients, I have a workbook that I give to them, and I'm continuously, I can't even tell you how many times I say with my clients, there's three rulers of your life, your intention, your attention, and your perception. So for the work that I share with my clients, it's all about intention, because when you're moving forward in life, when you're setting that intention, it's literally the plan. It's creating that roadmap. This is where I'm going. And then you keep your attention on that intention. And then along the way, you really watch where are your perceptions? What's the thing that is kind of driving everything? So a New Year's resolution, I literally looked it up because mm-hmm. I like definitions. And if you're looking up resolution, it's a firm decision to do or not to do something. So it's a decision to do it or not to do it. But when you're having an intention, this is the goal, this is the aim, this is the plan. And that's the difference. So if you have a New Year's resolution, it's like, all right, I'm making a resolution to, for a lot of people, it's get healthier, lose weight. You know, I have a New Year's resolution to not be so lazy. New Year's resolution to do basically what we're talking about before, get off my screen and get into the real world a little bit more. So the reason I like intention is because it's a plan. So when my clients come in, it's like, what is your intention? Is literally one of the first things that I'll ask them. And it's really interesting over the years how many people just look at me and they're like, I really don't even know. And we have to think about it. And there's a part of it, as we're thinking about it, it's like, can you just make an intention to just be happier? And every single time they'll agree to that. So when you're making that intention, you're literally saying, this is my plan. This is the roadmap. This is where I am actually going. It is on. It is set. So I like to, especially this time of year when I'm working with people, and just for those of you that are listening, what do you want for the new year? And if there's a part of you that you think, I don't really know what I want, look at what's not working in this past 2019. What did not work for you? You know, were you happy in your love life? Were you happy with your health? Maybe your success, your abundance. And that part about just being happy. You know, look at the past year and learn from it and figure out what are the things that I did, the choices that I made that really didn't work for me. And then you are going to know what your intention is. Because if you had a year financially that was very much a struggle, your intention is I'm creating more abundance. If you had challenging health, then your intention would be to make healthier choices. You know, whatever that thing is. So, you know, when you're not sure what your intention is to be, look at the past and learn from that.
So when a person sets an intention, and it, let's just say as tonight, you know, or in the wee hours when people set their New Year's intentions.
Or tomorrow.
I'll get to it tomorrow. New Year's intentions like, oh, I'm not going to drink like that again.
Right.
We've heard those. We've witnessed those things with people.
Or maybe experienced it ourselves occasionally.
Never. So when people do intentions, and they have to follow it up with an affirmation, okay? Because that, right?
They say affirmations. I call it a power statement. You know, people get an idea about affirmations, and then they create all these affirmations, and then nothing ever happens with it. And I had a great story of this woman that I was, she kept coming to my groups for like a year, and she kept having these affirmations, and they just weren't working. And then one day in the group, she looked at me and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I just realized why these affirmations aren't working." She wasn't having the feeling behind them. So affirmations are just the words that you're sharing. So when I'm saying a power statement, that is when you're saying, here's my intention. And the power statement that backs it up, you literally use that power statement and emphasize it with your feelings. So a feeling of enthusiasm, a feeling of appreciation is huge. A feeling that it's already in the works, that it's already happening. So you have the intention, and then you have the power statement that kind of moves it forward with the feeling that it's already done, and that certain amount of appreciation that just locks and loads it.
So how often is it wise for a person to repeat, boost, reaffirm their power statements?
Anytime that you're feeling that feeling of, I'm not so sure, you know, you have to bring it back to, nope, this is going, this is happening. I've got, you know, I'm going to give you an example of it. It's one of my favorite stories, and I know the person doesn't mind me sharing it. This person wanted a job in the worst way. So I said, set the intention and know what you want. So I had them create a list of this is what they were creating in their job. You know, they were going to make a certain amount of income. They were going to be able to do what they wanted. They were going to be working with great people. Now, you can do this with anything. So say, for instance, you're looking for a love of your life. Your intention is to have that great partner. You create a list. This is who I'm finding. And it's not about what they look like. It's about the qualities of the person. So I told this person, it's like, all right, so create that list and know that the job is already happening. And I do this whole thing with the car analogy where I literally say, so imagine that you're here now and that the job is already happening. It's in San Francisco. So you have to get from Los Angeles up the freeway to San Francisco, and then you're going to pick up the job. So your intention is set. The job is set. You put your foot on the gas of appreciation, and you know you're creating the job. And as you're going, when you have that moment of doubt and you say, oh, you know what, the job hasn't happened yet, I'm not so sure it's going to happen, you've driven off the freeway and you're going off to Bakersfield. So you have to learn something in Bakersfield and you have to get back on the freeway. So that's when you re-own your power statement and you reaffirm and you re-kind of calibrate. Well, on this particular day, I watched the guy get the job. He had been out of job for a long time, and I told him, I said, when you are knowing and you have that sense of appreciation and you picture it and it's yours, that's your foot on the gas and you're going, you're there. And he looked at me and he goes, I get it. I got the job. And then not long after that, he said, I mean, like 2 seconds, he said, but you know what? The jobs for people like me are usually in another state. And I was like, shh, stop. Don't do that. Seriously? It was maybe 10 days. He got a job and it was exactly what he wanted and it was in another state. So when you have your power statement rolling, you're literally owning that appreciation that it's already in the works, and it's the feeling, it's always the feeling that's the creative thing.
Mm-hmm. Feeling it, of course. You know, in this literal school that, you know, when we went to hypnosis school and we talk about different ledgers and journals, a lot of those, the affirmations, especially when you're talking about, you know, money and abundance, it's those things are written every night.
But you can't write them every night. And then there's a part of you that's going, this is a bunch of shit.
Well, but that's true. But you
people
can
will
think
do
that. You can think that. But if you are continuing to write, I'm not saying say it, but if you're continuing to write, it is programming, reprogramming the subconscious mind. So there is something for that. And some things we really know that we're going to create something, but maybe it just takes time
for that
to happen. And people have to be patient with that. I mean, if you're really owning whatever that is, that could be a new romance, whatever. It could be health. You know, people have to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all the years I've channeled Merlin, he told me a long time ago, he says, it's not what you want, it's what you will.
Yep.
And that's where the drive is. So we have to drive that.
There's some power statements that I like that are just so good for everything. And one of my favorites is divine right actions always taking place. Mm-hmm. So that means if there's a challenge, you know what? Yay, I'm going to grow through it. If there is something that is, you know, in the way, it's like, what is this thing that's going to bring me to the next level of my consciousness? There's some other power statements that are really good. You share some of the ones that you've put out there before.
Now I have to think. Well,
money comes to me from known and unknown sources.
Absolutely.
That's another extremely good power statement. And that actually has worked really well for not only me and my own personal life, but I've had clients. It's like that's mm-hmm. created miracles for them.
Exactly. And when you use that and you're not attached to when
mm-hmm.
or how it, you know, you just money comes to me from known and unknown sources. That could be you're walking down the street and you find $20. You're wherever, all of a sudden money shows up.
Mm-hmm.
I've witnessed that happen many, many times.
Yeah.
Money just shows up. And it's not really earned money, or it can be. When you affirm that, maybe all of a sudden you get a bunch of new clients
mm-hmm.
and they spend a ton of money. I mean, it works.
So for all of you that have set your intentions for 2020, your next bit of homework would be to create some power statements that go with those intentions and look at the feeling that would back it. Is it gratitude, appreciation? You know, what are the feelings that you can lock and load it with?
And if there is something, say, on a tangible level that you're trying to acquire that seems to be beyond the grasp of what you would normally get, like, for instance, if there was a certain kind of car that you wanted, then go to that dealership and, you know, sit in the car. You know, different cars feel different, smell different, you know, attached to a feeling. Because you always say, Audrey, you know, feelings are much stronger than thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So get the feeling of it. What do you think, Audrey, what do you think gets in the way most of the time for people when they just, I'll never do that. I'll never get that.
There's subconscious negative thinking. It's that unconscious part of us. And funny enough, it's either from the 0 to 8 programming. So for those of you that are listening and you're thinking, all right, so I've thought this intention before. I've thought about what I wanted and it keeps not happening. I want you to take a minute and think about it. One of the most important things to do is to, in fact, in the tools that I have in my little toolbox, mindfulness is number one. So you pay attention to what your mind is thinking and then look at that thought and back it up. Look at the 0 to 8 period in your life where your parents were driving their car and you were in the back seat. What did you learn from your parents? A lot of times when we are thinking thoughts like, you know, I'm never going to get anywhere with this, or I make money and I lose it, or whatever those thoughts are, a lot of times my clients can look directly at one or both of the parents and say, you know what, that's exactly where I learned it. So as much as we've learned these things, now is an opportunity to unlearn it and really own that adult part of us that gets to own a new belief system. So the intentions, if you're not having them happen, you pay attention, because remember, it's intention, then attention. You pay attention to where your mind is going. And when you find those limiting thoughts, you know, there's this whole list of different kind of thoughts that Nick, what are some of the unconscious negative thoughts?
Well, the one's called fortune telling.
Yeah.
You know, predicting a negative outcome.
I always never get what I want.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of them are formed on assumption you know, someone says, I'm trying to think about the ones that we've actually had printed. He gave me a weird look. He must not like the shirt I'm wearing. I mean, people do stuff like that.
So there's all these thoughts that aren't really true. They're not real, but it's things that we're thinking in our mind. So when you can recognize those limiting thoughts, those ones that are taking you off the 101 and up to the greatest things that you're intending, when you pay attention to those thoughts and you say, you know, it's like, I never get what I want, or, you know, I'm not good enough for this, or, you know, what it could be a million different thoughts. When you pay attention and you catch those unconscious negative thoughts and you do the work to change them over to the back to the conscious intention and figure out where they came from, because it's either in the 0 to 8 program or it's through an experience that we've had in our life. When you can recognize those things and get to the source of it and let it go, there's a process to it. But more importantly, bring it back to your conscious intention and hold that power statement. You create a lot of miracles in your life. You get where you want to go, and you'll hold that intention. So for 2020, write that thing down, hold the power statements with it, and put it up somewhere where you can see it on a regular basis.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter. I want to put it out there. It doesn't matter if you are listening to us live on New Year's Eve or you're listening to the archives, you know, into January. You know, there's plenty of time to set intentions for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And as Audrey said, figure out what you don't want, then start to identify what you do want. And when you think about what you want, think about it like this. Is, if I have that, you know, am I going to be happy with that? Is that something that I really want? Having that in my life, does that create good feelings in me?
And if it does create that sense of happiness, own that and have that be the feeling that powers it forward.
Absolutely. As there's a couple minutes to go, you know, I always like to end, especially on a year-end show.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year. I'd like to end with, you know, a lot of gratitude. And this is now, you know, a couple months that I've been doing this show. And I'm very grateful to Sam at LA Talk Radio and Ronan, who is in production, helps us out. And, of course, this wouldn't have happened without Sheena Metal,
mm-hmm.
and bringing us in. And it wouldn't have happened unless our friend Becca had introduced us to Sheena Metal so that I could have been on the show and have had a lot of wonderful guests. And we have some really cool people that are coming on the show, fascinating people. In 2020,
mm-hmm.
and some favorites are coming back. Audrey, I'd like to see you on the show a lot more often with me.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, as some of you know that I do coach high school softball, there are times you will be hosting the show without me. So just be prepared for that. Anyway, and I appreciate you, Audrey. I can't say that enough, and I can't say that from the heart enough. Thank you for another wonderful year.
Thank you.
Thank you in so many ways. And Audrey and I are just part of the Newmont Center for Balanced Living in Agoura Hills, California. We are a multi-practitioner facility in therapy, alternative healing techniques. And if you'd like to know more about Audrey. Audrey, tell them how to get a hold of you.
You can catch me at audreynewmont.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and my number is 818-665-6165.
And your email address if they want to email you?
anewmont@gmail.com.
And I am Nick Newmont, and the office line is 818-865-8770. You can reach me on Facebook, friend me if you'd like. Please let us know that you watch or listen to the show. And if you have ideas, or if you're in our realm of the work we do and you would like to be a guest on the show, please reach out. My intention was not for this to be a demonstration of all my abilities. And at some point, I'll probably channel Merlin in the show.
But it was to give
people exposure that deserve to be identified as experts in their field. Andre, we're coming to the end. There's a few hours left in 2019. We're going to go enjoy it. Let our listeners and viewers enjoy it. And to everyone, a happy, healthy
New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
And we'll see you in the new year. Take good care.
Bye.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.